Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Elhamdülillah. Elhamdülillahi nesta'inuhu ve nestağfiruhu. Ve na'uzu billahi min şururi enfusina ve min seyyiati a'malina. Men yehdiyallahu fela mudille lehu ve men yudlilhu fela hadiye lehu. Ve neşhedü en la ilahe illallah vahdehu la şerike lehu. ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أمواتا بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: الأنبياء أحياء في قبورهم يصلون. صدق الله وصدق الرسول ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My respected listeners, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be praised that He has made us Muslims and granted us a complete perfect way of life and a finite concrete set of beliefs as elucidated and expounded by the Ahl Sunnat wal Jamaat. Today we are on lesson number 32, and today's lesson is concerning what we call Hayat Nabi, or life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the grave. This discussion or this lesson, you have to listen to it carefully and ponder about it, think, and then you will realize that the rumors spread against the Ahl Sunnat wal Jamaat are not valid, and you should view it in that light. We will present proofs from the Quran, from the Hadith, from Ijma, that is consensus of opinion, and then logical proofs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned about the shuhada, about the martyrs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned about the martyrs twice in the Quran Kareem, in the ayah that I have recited before you, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Baqarah that وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتِ بَلْ أَحْيَاهُمْ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. That do not say concerning those who have been slain, those who have become martyred in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not say they are dead, amwat, bal ahyahun, bal they are alive, but they are alive. Walakin, but you do not understand. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly, categorically, without any shadow of doubt and without any ambiguity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying about those martyrs who have been slain in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is classifying them as ahya, as alive. And in another ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Al-Imran, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ قُتُلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٍ بَلْ أَحْيَاهُمْ إِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ يُرْزَقُونَ. That do not ponder or do not imagine or do not perceive those that have been slain in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as dead. We should not comprehend or perceive or try to imagine that they have died. They are alive, and by the Rabb, near their Rabb, they are being fed, yurzakun. How this feeding is taking place, that is another discussion. The point to be made here is that the shuhada, they are alive. Shuhada, the martyrs. Now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that the martyrs are alive, and we know for a fact that the Anbiya alayhi salam, the prophets of Islam, they hold a status, a position far higher than the martyrs. In the ayat of Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talks about Munim alayhi, that those who have the boons and favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and those who are blessed with the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada, and the Salihin. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has categorized four classes of people: the Salihin, the pious ones, the righteous ones, the upright ones, and above the Salihin, the Shuhada, the martyrs, and above the martyrs, the Siddiqeen, the truthful ones, and above the Siddiqeen, the Anbiya alayhi salam, the prophets of Islam. Now we have got these four degrees, and when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the Shuhada are alive, that means those that are having a position, and those that are having a status, and those who are more higher than the Shuhada, like the Siddiqeen, then their life will be of a stronger in nature. Their life will be stronger. And those that are higher than the Siddiqeen, obviously their life will be even more stronger. So, when we have got a bulb, a light bulb, and this light bulb is giving off some light, and in these days, we can control that light. We can control how much light must come out from that light bulb. So if we put that light on, then the light is on, it is alive. And if we want to increase the velocity, or if we want to increase the degree of light, then we turn the knob and more light comes on. And we want to bring it to full power, then we turn the knob completely and more light, or most light, comes out. A simpler example is that if you have got a lantern, and you have lit the lantern, and when you have lit the lantern, the wick of the lamp, you have lit it, then it gives off a light. And when you turn, then the more you turn and the more wick comes out, the more light it gives off. And when more light gives off, the brighter the room becomes. So when the lamp is lit, it has got some life. And when you want to make it higher, then you turn on the screw and the more light is given off. So when the Shuhada, according to two texts of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is classifying that the Shuhada are alive. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that they are alive, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the very Quran is saying that higher than the Shuhada are the Siddiqeen, that means the life of the Siddiqeen will be of a higher level than the Shuhada. And we know that the Anbiya, as stated in the Quran, the prophets, they have got a life higher than the Siddiqeen and the Shuhada. So the Anbiya will have life most strongly, and whatever the nature be, first of all, they are alive. Secondly, their status is higher. Once we have understood this rule, categorically from the Quran we are proving that the Anbiya alayhi salam, let alone the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen are alive, and the Shuhada, the martyrs, are alive. Now according to the Hadith, and the Hadith is very clear, that Hazrat Anas bin Malik narrates, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that the Anbiya, they are alive in their graves. And what are they doing in their graves? They are performing Salat. And this hadith has gone through the scholars of ahadith. Now they have checked the verification of it, the validity of it, the chain of narrators, the authenticity of the hadith, and they have classified that this hadith is valid, is correct, and is strong, and you can prove your belief from it. So when the hadith is strong and reliable, and it is not fabricated or cooked up, then we can say that this hadith can be used to prove that the Anbiya, the prophets, are alive in the graves. We have another hadith wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly says that the earth does not eat up the bodies of the Anbiya. Now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that the earth does not eat up the bodies of the Anbiya, that means the bodies are intact. Logically, for example, if we put a piece of iron and bury it, we take a piece of iron and we bury it, then that iron will rot. But if we have to galvanize that iron and now bury that iron, then inshallah that iron will not rot. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when a normal body goes under the surface of the earth, the general rule is now it must rot and decay and decompose. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to galvanize that body, if Allah wants to protect that body, then no one can stop him. And he has done that for the bodies of the Anbiya alayhi salam. And this hadith has also been classified by the scholars of hadith that it is correct, it is reliable, it is authentic, it is valid. In another hadith, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states that by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by Allah azza wa jal, that the earth cannot eat the bodies of the Anbiya alayhi salam. It has become haram for the earth to eat up the bodies of the Anbiya alayhi salam. So when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi salam is stating clearly that the bodies of the Anbiya alayhi salam are not eaten up by the earth, then we will accept it. Now we have got two ayats of the Quran al-Kareem and three ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Further, Imam Suyuti rahmatullah alayhi in Khasais al-Kubra has stated that there is ijma on this, that the Anbiya alayhi salam, they are alive in their grave, and according to as the hadith stated that they are performing salat. According to one hadith, it is stated that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is alive in the grave, performing salat with azan and ikamat. And we know the hadith concerning ziyarat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that when you are near my grave, in the qabri, then when we give salam, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he hears it, he listens to it, and he answers it. So he has to listen and answer when he is alive. Now all this has been from the Quran and the Hadith. Logically speaking, Maulana Qasim Nahnutri rahmatullah alayhi has explained this in detail in his kitab, and Allama Khalid Mahmood has mentioned this in his kitab Maqam Hayat, which is a 500 page book explaining that the Anbiya are alive in their graves, especially Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hazrat Maulana Qasim Nahnutri rahmatullah alayhi states that the body and the soul have a relationship, and the soul has got control over the body, and the soul controls three aspects of the body. The soul controls three aspects of the body. Number one, that as long as the body has the soul, the body does not rot or decay or decompose. We notice that when a person dies, when a person has been classified dead, then firstly he becomes cold, then he becomes stiff, then rigor mortis sets in, or the stiffening of the body. Then later, if he is left, then decomposition takes place, decay takes place, the body begins to stink. Now, this has happened. All this procedure has taken place because the soul has left the body. So when the soul leaves the body, then the body rots and becomes decayed and decomposes. But if there is soul attached to the body, then the body does not decay or become decomposed. We know for a fact that when Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when soul was taken out of his body, no one denies this, that the soul was taken away from his body. And all the ayats of the Quran which state that every soul shall taste death, and the Anbiya that have passed away before you, etc., that all these ayats are in its place, that the soul was taken away from the body, the blessed body of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But which place can hold the soul of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Can the Kaaba hold the soul of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Can the Iliyin hold the soul of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Can the Arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hold the soul of Allah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So the soul of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is returned to the best place, that is the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because there is no better place and there is no appropriate place for the soul of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is to come back to the body of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is why when he passed away, the body was there, left lying, according to some narrations, for a few days. And in all the time, the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not stiffen, did not decay, did not become decomposed, and no smell came out of it. Why? Because there was soul attached to it. And when there is soul attached to the body is alive. Secondly, that as long as there is soul attached to the body, and if that body, that human being is married, then the bond of marriage is maintained. Understand this very carefully and cautiously, that when there is soul in a body, and this body is now alive, and if this body, this human being is married, then that human being will remain married as long as there is soul in that body. Now when a husband passes away, then we say that that wife does not have a husband. The wife now will sit in iddat and will go pass her iddat, etc. But she is classified a widow now, because the husband is dead, soul has been taken away from his body. Similarly, the wife, if the wife passes away, then immediately when the wife passes away, the husband, he can remarry. And he, even in the wife's presence, he can remarry out of the circumstances in Islam, he can remarry four wives. But the wife, as soon as the husband passes away, she can remarry after her mourning period. And we know the law of Islam, that if the wife was pregnant, that as soon as her pregnancy ends, then her iddat ends. So let us take a hypothetical example, that the wife was pregnant and she was at later stages. The husband passed away Fajr time, and he was buried Zuhr time, and the wife delivered Asr time. As soon as she delivered, she could marry, because now her husband has been classified dead, and here the mourning period is over. So the bond of marriage is dependent upon the soul in the body. Here, respected listeners, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he passed away, the Azwaj Mutahara, the pious righteous wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did not remarry. Not one of his wives remarried. The reason being, they understood the Shariat of Islam. They understood that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Anbiya alayhi wa sallam, they are alive in their graves. Thirdly, the soul in the body controls the aspect of inheritance. When there is soul in the body, no distribution of inheritance takes place. But when the soul leaves the body, then inheritance distribution takes place. A man has got property, a man has got estate. In his lifetime, he may distribute his estate, etc. But official distribution of his estate, of his inheritance, will take place when he is classified dead. That means when the soul left the body. When the soul leaves the body, he is classified dead. You can distribute his inheritance, you can distribute his estate. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. Nabi Akram Salaam stated in a hadith that the Anbiya alayhi salam, they do not leave behind any inheritance, no dirham or dinar, but they leave behind ilm, knowledge. And we know for a fact that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, that whatever he owned went into the public treasury, went to the Baytul Mal for the utilization of mankind at that time. If Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the dead, meaning completely without a soul, then his inheritance should have been distributed. But because he is alive, there was no distribution taken place. Otherwise, his children, Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, should have got the inheritance, etc. But no distribution took place. So from these logical proofs, we can understand that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Anbiya alayhi sallam, they are alive in their grave. And according to the hadith, it has explained that they are performing salah. So in the light of Quran, in the light of the hadith, in the light of ijma as classified by Allama Suyuti rahmatullah alayh, and logical proofs as elucidated by Maulana Qasim Nahnawi rahmatullah alayh, we know for a fact that the Anbiya alayhi salam, they are alive, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi salam, he is alive in his grave, and the salam given to him near his grave, he listens to it, he replies it. And the salam and durood, which is read far away, it is taken to him, presented to him by specially appointed angels. Wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.